Our text from Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, welcome to the singing seminary. If there is one feature that makes our seminary unique among those in this world, it is that our schedule is replete with opportunities for singing. Annually, vicars return and remark how much they missed the enthusiastic singing. When new students and their families hear that sound for the very first time, they're undoubtedly overwhelmed. And when pastors return for intensive sessions and conferences, they tell us that one of the strongest forces that drew them back was the memory of seminarians singing with gusto. And this phenomenon, according to our text, is certainly God-ordained, since God wants the word of Christ to dwell in us richly. Isn't it striking that in our text, it describes the rich indwelling of the word of Christ in terms of singing, teaching and admonishing one another? How? Not simply in speaking, but also in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's nothing new about God's people. For God has illustrated this rich indwelling of his word in his saints throughout all ages. Think of the singing of the Blessed Virgin Mary as she responded to the announcement of the Savior's birth in the words of the Magnificat, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Remember Zacharias' anthem of praise when he responded to the birth of his unexpected son, John. What about Christmas Eve, when the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men"? And then there was Simeon, who, as he held the baby Jesus, sang, "Lord, now lettest thou my servant depart in peace, according to thy word." Remember Moses and the children of Israel praising God with singing, and Miriam the prophetess with the women praising God with timbrels and song. And the book of Psalms itself, the hymnal of God's people. Remember David, well known not only for writing many of those psalms, but that he also reorganized and perfected the beautiful song services of the Old Testament church. For this purpose, he selected entire families who made singing their special profession. In particular, the Levites, in their several choirs, performed their music, divided into different groups at the great festivals and other occasions. Thus, throughout Israel's and New Testament history, singing played an important role as a means of reinforcing God's word so that it might dwell in God's people richly, as our text exhorts. And in accord with that will of God, the Christian church, after the times of the apostles, has continued to encourage the rich indwelling of God's word through singing. Here we meet such eminent names as Ambrose, 4th century Bishop of Milan, who did so much to reform and develop Christian hymnody, lively, rhythmical, congregational singing, introduced in his cathedral, from whence it spread throughout the Occident. Of course, Gregory the Great, the 6th century bishop, who organized the singing of his day, later called Gregorian chant or plain song, some of which has been restored in our own hymnal. Then the 16th century Luther, no less, known both as theologian and hymn writer, who said things like this about singing. After theology, Luther says, music alone can affect that which otherwise only theology can do, namely a peaceful, happy mind. And again, he says, I am not afraid to assert that next to theology, there is no art that can be equal to music. And even again, music is a most excellent gift of God and belongs next to theology. Following in this tradition, of course, J.S. Bach, Mendelssohn, and numerous others, whose compositions still provide us also with a rich indwelling of God's Word. This is the background that has given the Lutheran Church its nickname, the Singing Church, and the background that has provided our seminary with the impetus for being the Singing Seminary. What's the value of all this? I think the value of all this cannot be better illustrated than in a study of the Bible songbook itself, the Book of Psalms. For the Psalms were written to be sung. This was their God-intended function. And their value lies in the fact that singing reinforced precious, inspired words, which are given us by God for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. The Psalms contain all doctrines necessary for our salvation. They exhort us against every evil work and admonish us to every good work. They comfort us in sorrow and give us courage in trials. Significant that our old Lutheran hymns are written in imitation of these inspired psalms. And while not inspired by the Holy Spirit in the same sense as are the psalms, yet they are the Word of God, inasmuch as they convey the truths of the psalms. Let us always sing our Lutheran hymns from this point of view. And if we shall do so, we shall find them veritable treasures of God's grace. How richly they also are in doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. And when they are sung, the divine word is all the more richly inculcated into our hearts. Uncounted pious hearts have been comforted and sustained in their faith by Lutheran hymns. Truly a great value attaches to our singing. If I may express myself in this way, there is certainly sound advice in the exhortation in our text, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God has sent you here not only to speak, but to sing. And in order that his word dwell in you richly, he invites you here to sing daily, to all the opportunities of singing here on this campus. In order that your seminary years may be rich in the indwelling of the Word of Christ. Oh, may God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.